That's why. Oh, my goodness. Well, this past year, I guess maybe a little over a year now, I got a new truck, and I was pretty excited about it. I never had a Dodge truck before. So right away, I started shopping around for all the Dodge paraphernalia. You know, I want to really get into it. And I seen this unbelievable shirt on eBay. My brother Mark, he does a lot of eBay and knows a lot about eBay. And you know, so I see this shirt on eBay, and it's a Dodge shirt, and it says, "Grab life by the horns," because it's all about a Dodge Ram truck, and a Ram has the horns. "Grab life by the horns." I said, "Now that's a cool shirt. I can wear that because I have a Dodge truck." I said, "This will be cool, you know. Grab life by the horns." I said, "Hey, Mark, I'm going to order this shirt on eBay," and it says, "Dodge, grab life by the horns." And Mark said, "Oh, you're going to buy on eBay, huh?" I says, "Yeah." He goes, "You know, they mail it to you, you pay, and they mail it to you." "Yeah, that's going to work out real good." He goes, "Let me give you a little tidbit here about eBay. Everything you buy at eBay comes with a little surprise." I said, "Really?" He says, yeah, everything comes with a little surprise." I said, "What will my surprise be?" He goes, "Oh, you never know. You never know what the surprise is going to be." So I said, "Well, it doesn't matter. I'm getting a hold of this shirt. Dodge, grab life by the horns." It'd be perfect, right? So I spent the money, I sent it off, and here's my shirt. Grab life. They forgot something, didn't they? Surprise! That's what you get when you don't buy it in person. So I got my Dodge shirt. It doesn't say grab life by the horns. It's a misprint. I got a really junky, irregular here. But I still like the saying. I still like that idea, that whole concept of grabbing life by the horns. I like that motto because I love the practice of moving along life, taking all that life has to offer, as opposed to being dragged down the road of life at the mercy of everything around me. I don't want to miss all the excitement by being dragged through life. I want to take life by the horns and see it for all it's worth and all that God has for me in it. And that's why I've chosen this story tonight in Joshua chapter 1. Let me bring you up to speed on the background. Here's where we're at, where Joshua 1, kind of what happened beforehand. Israel has been under the leadership of God, of course, but through the man of Moses. Moses is an incredible leader for God. He brought the people out of Egypt, and he had just an incredible run here where he had to take care of them for 40 years in the desert and try to keep things together. And Moses had seemed to have all the answers. Even though he had trouble and things still happened to Israel that you wish didn't happen, Moses was a tremendous leader. And all this time, for probably close to 80 years, he has an apprentice named Joshua. And Joshua has been watching all that Moses has been doing. Matter of fact, when Moses would disappear up on the mountain to talk to God, Joshua would go as far as he could up the mountain to be the first one to meet Moses on the way down and learn from Moses. Well, that's where we come into Joshua chapter 1. Moses has departed this earth in Joshua chapter 1. Moses has passed away. And this passage is where God reaches down and puts his arm around a future superstar leader of God's team. And what God does is he gives him a pep talk. And it's a pep talk that will tell Joshua how to win in life, how to be successful in his life and in leading Israel. He's telling Joshua how to grab life by the horns and really experience it all and be successful for God. The reason I love this passage so much is because I like to listen to it as a pep talk myself. I believe if we apply its wisdom, we too can grab life by the horns, and we can take lives that are kind of misfiring, and we can get our lives running properly for the first time by using the wisdom that God gives us here in Joshua 1. Now, Joshua here in this passage is being instructed on how to lead God's people. But as we will see, God's words are designed not only to lead a people, but to lead a person. Anyone can apply these truths to their lives and see God blessing them and seeing the success in following God as you follow these principles. So let's read Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. I think we're going to go about 9 verses here. We're going to go through 9 verses. Moses was the servant of the Lord. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was Moses' assistant. Now after Moses died, the Lord said to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead. Now you and all these people go across the Jordan River, go into the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. I promised Moses I would give you this land. So I will give you every place you go in the land. All the land from the desert of the south to Lebanon in the north will be yours. All the land from the great river, the Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west will be yours. This includes the land of the Hittites. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. No one will be able to stop you all your life, and I will not leave you. I will never leave you alone." Here it comes. "Joshua, be strong and brave. You must lead these people so they can take their land. This is the land I promised their fathers I will give them. Be strong and brave. Be sure to obey all the teachings my servant Moses gave you. If you follow them exactly, you will be successful in everything you do." Verse 8. "Always remember what is written in the book of the teachings. Study it day and night. Then you will be sure to obey everything that is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything. Remember that I commanded you to be strong and brave, so don't be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So, as we've said, Moses has passed away. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Moses was a tremendous leader for Israel and an incredible friend of God. He was an invaluable and irreplaceable mentor for Joshua. And yet, Joshua must now replace Moses. Joshua is going to have to confirm his new supervisor. He's going to have to establish his loyalty, and he's going to have to commit to new marching orders. The first priority for Joshua is this, and we see in this passage, your highest relationship must be God. That's on your outlines. Your highest relationship must be God. Now, gang, we cannot say enough good about Moses. We cannot laud his accomplishments enough. Moses did tremendous things for God, and he mentored Joshua very well. And that is exactly how God designed that to happen. God uses relationships that we have with each other to accomplish wonderful things. Relationships with each other will grow us. Relationships that we have with each other will instruct us and encourage us. But Joshua's relationship with Moses was not to be the highest relationship that Joshua had, not the highest relationship being offered. Joshua would need to increase and rely on a direct relationship with God. And God informs Joshua of that in statements like this. Did you see these? God starts by saying this, "My servant Moses is dead." It's like God is saying, "Joshua, that relationship, that mentoring, that's over. Now your instruction, now your guidance, your marching orders will not come from looking to Moses. They'll come from looking to me." Verse 5, God says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." It's like God is saying, "I, Joshua, I was the power behind Moses, and I will be the power behind you." Verse 5 again, God says, "I will not leave you." Moses, Joshua, he was mortal. He's gone. 120 years, but he's finished. God says, "I promise wherever you go, I'll be there because I can. I'm not mortal. I'm not going anywhere." Verse 5 again, where God promises, "I will never leave you. I, Joshua, can be everywhere at once, and there's no place you can go that I won't be." You see, gang, God will send individuals into our lives who will do amazing things for us. God will send people into our lives that can help us get to a place that we never thought was possible. But each and every one of them, as special as they are travelers that we travel life's road with for a season. And as with all seasons, seasons come to an end. Joshua's walk with Moses was incredible, but it was temporary. And Joshua's walk with God would not be temporary. That would be eternal. You know, when I look back over my life, I visualize my life as kind of like I always have, as a road that I'm traveling. I think I got that whole picture from the book Pilgrim's Progress. We are on a journey to the celestial city. And that's how I see my life. And what's interesting is that, just like in the book, as I walk my road, friends come along the way. And they walk with you for a while. For me, there were incredible friends that I walked with. It was my cousin, the Fooge. I loved the Fooge. It was like God was with me on my right-hand side, and Fooge was right there on my left. And through the end of my early part of my 20s into my late 20s was Fooge. And we served God together, and he helped me stay on track. Fooge on my left, God on my right. Then as things changed in my life and God called me to minister, told me to pick up a guitar, and my first real ministry was taking a guitar and going to a small group. And there was my friend Tom. Tom, right there at my side, wishing me well, watching me strum chords and follow Jesus and serve him. It was Tom there on my left and God on my right. That too, that season came to an end, just like the one with the Fooge. When God wanted to teach me later in life how to be a really good friend, and I had to go through a tough time to find that out, there was my friend Lou. Lou on my left-hand side. As I traveled life's road, learning what God would have me learn, I had God on my right, Lou on my left. But that ended too. Each one of these men in my life were valuable companions for me. And each one traveled with me for a season. Some of those seasons were years long, even decades long. But eventually, each one of those men left my life's road. And each time I looked to my right, and sure enough, there was God. Empty on the left, God on the right. Standing right there as he always is, looking right at me. He never left me, even when I haven't looked to my right for a long time, even when I kind of focused on my left, God stayed right there. Wherever I walked, he went with us. And according to Joshua 1, verse 5, God says, I will not leave you. I will never leave you alone. And he will. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave any of you who call him to be your God. It's a promise that he keeps, gang. Actually, it's more than that. It's his very nature. Allow me to offer you this action step on this. And that's this. Treasure your traveling partners. Treasure your Fooge. Treasure your Tom. Treasure your Lou. But place priority by looking to your right. Place priority by staying close to this one on the right, because this one's eternal. And this traveling partner will stay with you forever. And the reason is because as you travel that life's road, no matter where you go, your roll call every morning will start with this. Drew, present. God, present. One on the left, maybe. For me, I have to remember to invest energy into this relationship, like God was telling Joshua. This one on my right is the most important. I have to make sure that I'm growing my relationship with the one on my right, because he's the one who's going to go the distance with me and through eternity. Remember, Joshua spent probably 80 years with Moses. But in the end, the roll call was Joshua, present. God, present. Moses, silence. I've come to understand that when God is all I have, he's more than what I need. He is still more than enough. And no matter what you go through, no matter what you lose in this life, no matter what friends travel with you for a while, God will still be there, and he's more than enough. Now, maybe you're going through a time of despair. Maybe you're struggling in your own power to fix or solve a problem that seems hopeless. Look to the right. He's the one who can supernaturally change things. Maybe tonight you're going through a time of intense loneliness. That's a feeling that a lot of us understand very closely. I would say look to your right. You'll never be alone knowing you have this God, this leader on your right staying with you, Jesus. Maybe you've blatantly turned your back on God and you've shut him out of your life. Look right, because he didn't go anywhere. He's still standing there waiting for you to speak to him. God stays right by our side when we're at the bottom of our barrel. God stays right by our side when we're in jail. He stays right by our side through thick, through thin, when you're in the gutter. Gang, treasure your traveling partners, absolutely. But place priority on looking to the one on your right, Jesus Christ, because in the end, it is going to be only you and him. And God incredibly stays, and he wanted Joshua to know that this must be his first priority. Now, our next priority, I'm going to look down to verse 8. God says this, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Where we're going over these next three is we're going to see that we are going to converse, we are going to comprehend, and we must carry out God's word. I want to look at this scripture very carefully. So look at verse 8 and 9. Notice that to grab life by the horns, to be successful in life, God tells Joshua three things in regard to God's written word, the Bible. And this is what he says. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. First is, converse God's word. What does this mean, this do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth? This means, Joshua, you must never stop talking about God's word. You must never stop talking it. God's word, the things in the Bible, must be a topic of normal conversation. Things in the Bible must be included in the sayings you live by and that you assert. The things written in the book of God must be debated, must be affirmed, must be proclaimed to people who are looking for insight. For instance, when the Bible said God must be our first love, it should be normal for us to discuss with one another what that statement means. Gang, we can talk about that with one another. What does it mean that God must be your first love? Does that mean I had to fall in love with him when I was a baby? What is it talking about? Talk about these things. Never let that stop. Always be talking about the word of God. Proverbs of the Bible should be coming out of our mouths with more regularity than the sayings of our day. Instead of, well, you know teenagers, they know everything. What should be coming out of our mouths is, you know what? The Bible says train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from that. That's a better piece of wisdom to be talking about than, ah, those teenagers, they know everything. That is called not letting the book of God depart from your mouth. The other day, I was sitting down at my kitchen table, and one of my children, we were there, and they said to me, Dad, I read something really cool in the Bible last night. And they started telling me about it, and I loved it. I said, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I just listened. Oh, tell me about it. What did you read? It was very interesting. And they go and tell me the whole thing that they were reading, what it meant to them, and how that was going to make them make changes in the week to come. Talking about the word of God should be normal. God says, you want to be successful in life? You want to take life by the horns? Joshua, you want to be a successful leader? Don't ever stop talking the word of God. That should be a subject of conversation. It should be embedded into the things you say. Talking about God's word means giving a Bible reference for your counsel or for your opinion. One of the friends I've gotten to know in my new location on the fire department, we go out and we stand by the fire engines usually about 8 o'clock at night and we'll debrief a little bit. And he'll ask me things about how to live life. I'm much older than him now. He's a young father in his 20s and I'm not. So he asks me what I what I do and how things go and I give my opinion, I always try to give him some type of scriptural reference for it. As we talked before, well, you know, if you train up a child in the way they should go, the Bible says when they're old, they won't depart from that. They'll stay with that. So you want to keep, you know, keep them going in the right direction. Always kind of keep it focused and moving towards God. But give them scriptural reference. When they tell me, oh, I'm worried about layoffs. Oh, you know what the Bible says about worry? It says you shouldn't worry. Isn't that something? It's actually not what God wants. And we know God calls that sin when it's not what he wants. So you give scriptural references. Talk the Bible to people. Not your opinion, not something you saw on the news, but give them concrete evidence from the Word of God. Why? Hebrews 4:12 says this, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Gang, that's what we're doing here tonight. It's exactly what we're doing. We are talking about the Word of God here, and you've made yourself available to it. That is taking life by the horns. Okay, the first thing we saw about the Word of God that God says to Joshua is to be conversing the Bible, right? Next one, here we go. God says, meditate on it day and night. What he means there is to comprehend God's Word. What does that mean? Gang, the Bible is an easy book to understand, and it is also a very difficult book to understand. If we looked at John 1:1, for instance, a very famous passage, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This passage, the first time you read it, requires you to do some thinking. It requires you to do some checking with other scriptures. It requires some time to think about it. If you can worry, you can meditate, because that's the same thing, getting your mind occupied on something. This scripture requires us to ponder and to ask questions. This particular scripture, you may have to ask someone for help to understand, or ask God to help you understand. What God is telling Joshua is, if you want to take life by the horns, you must work. You have to work to comprehend and understand what God wrote down for us. I'll prove this to you. I'm in a study right now with a couple of friends, and one of the scriptures that we had to look at very early in the study was Ephesians 5:21. Here's what it said. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the study said, what does that mean to you and your life? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Does that mean, first of all, what does submit mean? Does submit mean do anything and everything somebody asks me to do? Is that what submit means? Man, I'm going to have to meditate on this. I'm going to have to work to comprehend this. And when it says submit to one another, who's one another? Is one another every single person I meet on the face of the earth? Is one another just my wife, my kids? What does this scripture mean? And then the real hard part to me came, well, out of reverence for Christ, how is God involved in this whole thing? That is what we're talking about when God said to Joshua, you need to meditate on the Word of God day and night. You need to comprehend it. You need to dig in, and you need to get your hands around these concepts and understand what they do mean. I know what it means now because we worked on it. It'll take some effort to comprehend God's command. But when you do, when you understand God's word, then you start to find it a lot easier to take life by the horns. God is telling Joshua, if you want to lead these people successfully, and I know you do, if you want to lead your own life, Joshua, successfully, then you have to take the time to try to understand all that I've written down for you. Gang, there are going to be truths in the Bible that we have to dig into if we are going to understand and comprehend them. The good news is we're all here to help each other. We're all here to help each other get a better understanding of the Word of God. Coming here on Saturday night and taking down notes, that's meditating on the Word of God day and night, working on it. talking about it after church. Go to Panera. Say, hey, what do they mean by that statement? What do you think? That's the best place to debrief. It's new on your mind. It's fresh on your mind, and you can get good help. I learned so much after Sunday night services going to Friendly's Ice Cream Parlor and talking about, what did he mean by that? Can that be true? And we all discussed it. Talk about it after church. Ask questions in small groups. The best place to ask questions in small groups. So we must converse the Word of God. Talk about it all the time. And we must work hard to comprehend it if we are going to take life by the horns and live our lives successfully. Finally, concerning God's written Word to us, the third and final truth here, do everything written in it. I like to say that as carry out God's Word. It's not enough to know what will help us. It is not enough to know what will help us. We have to start acting on it. When God says, let me give you some for instances here. Let's put this rubber right to the road. When God says, do not become drunk with wine, God says that so that you can take life by the horns, so that you don't become drunk with wine. And if you want to run your life and have it go the direction you want it to go, God is saying that's the way you want to live in that whole situation. Do not become drunk. But you have to do it, not just know it. When the Bible says, forgive those who persecute you, it is so you can live with an unencumbered heart. You can release the chains that hold you there. So as hard as it is, this scripture is telling us the process of letting go of your grudge, letting go of your thing, is how you will find relief. You will find freedom. You will be able to take life by the horns instead of being tied to it back here. When the Bible says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God is telling his soldiers, he's telling you and me, he's giving us marching orders. He's saying, you are to be gentle, you are to be kind, but certainly not stupid. Don't walk through life haphazardly trusting wolves. You have some smarts and you have wisdom and you use them. That is part of taking life by the horns. Gang, we have to do these truths. We have to actually live them out. Otherwise, it does no good. For years and years and years, when I grew up, all we could take was a bath. That's it. No showers at the Kleinbell house. You know why? Because if you take a shower, those tiles will fall off the wall. So, sit in the dirty bathwater. We did that for a lot of years. A lot of years. And I knew that biblical truth that if you take a shower, your tile will fall off the wall. So, one day, my mother, she said, she watched me come home from, I was a carpenter. I worked for the Essex County Carpenters Local. And I was filthy. I was just working all day, sawdust everywhere. And I knew that I needed to get clean. But my mother knew something more. She said, you know what? There's a shower in there. And that boy needs to be clean. She must have got a good whiff of me when I walked by. And she said, it's time to lay hold of this whole truth that showering the dirt off your body instead of sitting in it is better. And it was when I was in my 20s that Mom gave me the permission to turn on that shower. And I took my first shower. I laid hold of this amazing truth that water rushing over your body, washing away sawdust and stink and everything, was the best way to get clean. Oh, man. And guess what? The tile did not fall off the wall because we wiped it down every single time we took a shower. So it worked, but you know what? You got to lay hold of this stuff. It's not enough to know that the shower's there. It's not enough to know it's going to get you good and clean. Yeah, but I'll sit in the tub. No, you got to turn that shower on. And the Bible is telling us in this last section, Joshua, You must do everything written in it. Don't just know about it. You gotta do it, which is what we've been talking about. You see, gang, it's not enough to just know the things of God. We must own the things of God. We must submit to them, and then each of us, through the power God gives us of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, when you accept him, you have to act on it. God's word to Joshua ends with this, and I love this. If you do this, the things we just talked about, if you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything. Remember that I commanded you to be strong and brave, so don't be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Now that sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Those were some pretty good marching orders. Sounds too good to be true. You think it can actually be done? You think anybody would be able to actually do these things? To build a strong relationship with God that's stronger than the one we have with any friend? To actually look into the Word of God and talk about it all the time? Is there anybody who would be able to get successful by doing these things, by digging into God's Word and meditating on it day and night, learning to comprehend it, and then actually doing it? Do you think there's anybody who could do it? Joshua did it. Let me read you the last chapter of Joshua's life, just a verse from it. Here's what it says. Joshua, the son of Nun, this is the end of his life now. He, the servant of the Lord, he died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land that he had been allocated in the new land, at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. The people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and they served the Lord throughout the elder's lifetime that outlived him. Joshua grabbed life by the horns and ran it. Did he ever make a mistake? Yeah, he made a mistake. Were there ever bad days? Sure, there were bad days. But Joshua did what God instructed him to do. He became the servant of God God wanted him to be. And now we're called to the same thing. Lead. In our workplaces, can we be the ones who show people light? Can we show them truth? Can people look at our life and see hope? Can people in our workplaces see joy in us? They can, if we're doing what God's called us to do. Having your number one priority relationship be God. Talk about God's word all the time. Study it. Think about it. Drive up and down Route 78 thinking about it. Ask God to show you. Call a friend. Talk about it in a small group. And then do it. Actually be kind to that boss who's mean to you. Actually befriend the one where you go to school and the one who you work with who nobody wants to be a friend with. Love those that don't love you. And you could be the one. Think about that as we listen to this. We were down in West Virginia this morning, and we drove back, and my kids are very excited to get to church. And I know a lot of people have that mindset, and that's a happy thing for a pastor to know, that people are anxious to get to church. And I read this passage from Joshua, and I hear the lyrics of what Caleb was singing, and I pray that we would apply these things to our lives, like God being the highest relationship. I pray that when we're anxious to get to church, we would remember that the one we're anxious to meet with the most, the one we truly want to talk to, the one we really want to hear back from, the one we really want to embrace, the highest relationship is Jesus. Oh, he's given us great traveling partners, and we love it. We love each other. But the priority has to be on him. And I pray that that's something we would do. I pray that as we leave this place and as we clean up chairs, as we do everything we do, we would talk about the Word of God. Say, yeah, that really hit me tonight. What was that? We talk about it. And I pray that we would be people who know the Word of God, who not just learn it here, not just learn it in small groups, to be self-educated. To when we go home, we have that Bible and we crack it open. And even though there's days we may not understand it all, we can ask for help. I think you'll find you understand a lot more than you think when you look at a modern translation of the Bible. And more than anything, and I know we're already see so many people doing these things, I pray that we would be people who live out the Word of God. That we would be successful in what God's called us to be, which is to live as lights here. People who have truth and people who are influencing the world towards God. I pray that we would do that. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for all that you have done in this community that you call Westbridge Community Church. And I pray that as we go into our separate battlefields, into our front lines, we would be successful like Joshua taking the promised land. That we would let our lights shine. Let us remember that you are the one that will always be there. Friends as good as they are, family as close as they are, they all are one step down the relationship ladder from the relationship of our first love, you. And Lord, help us to be people who know the Word of God, who talk about it, and who live it. And Lord, let it start with those in this room, and let it filter out to others. Be with us, Lord. Keep us strong through the weekdays, and I pray that you would keep us safe to come back together. And we thank you one more time in the attitude of thanksgiving for all that you have given us. And we pray that we can give it back to you in advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week at 7 o'clock.